So we just discussed there about eating for our own health, but what about the planet's health? What changes could we make in our diets that will also have an impact on our carbon footprint, particularly as the world population continues to grow? I put these questions to Peter Scarborough from Oxford University's Nuffield Department of Population Health, asking first, how much of an impact do our food choices actually have on the environment?
Diet is a good place to start if you're looking to reduce your global carbon footprint. Not many people realise that the food that they eat has a massive implication on greenhouse gas emissions. In fact, in total, 30% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions that are produced are from the global food systems.
Can we juggle these ideas of being healthy and being sustainable at the same time?
We can, but there are some tensions. The classic one is fish. So the healthy advice for healthy eating is for everyone to eat two portions of fish a week, one of which is oily fish. And if everyone in Britain actually met those guidelines, there'd probably be no fish left in the sea. So that clearly works against sustainability. And there's ones that are the other way around as well. So in sustainability terms, it's best off if we eat all of the food that we produce. So things like sausages and other kind of processed meat is actually very good for sustainability because you get cuts of meat that otherwise wouldn't be eaten. And you kind of wrap them up with salt and saturated fat to make them palatable, and they're not good for health. But the general message of being able to eat a healthy, sustainable diet largely can boil down to kind of one area, and that is meat consumption. So if you're eating a diet that is lower in meat, higher in plant-based foods, then you're probably hitting something which is both healthier and better for the environment.
Because I know it's sort of an age-old debate, isn't it? So should we be vegan, vegetarian, or continue to eat meat? So what do the numbers say, I guess?
Well, in terms of the sustainability, we've known for a long time that greenhouse gas emissions related with plant-based foods compared to meat-based foods are far, far lower. I mean, orders of magnitude lower. And that's particularly the case for ruminant meat. So that's for cows and for sheep, because that's basically about the kind of processes that are involved in the way that that meat is raised. When you're talking about like sort of animal-based products, you've got inefficiencies in the system of raising livestock, which is basically about the fact that you have to feed animals with food that otherwise could have gone to human consumption. Then you've also got natural systems with ruminants like methane production when cows burp and they fart, which essentially methane is about 25 times as higher greenhouse gas emission as carbon. So they all add up to a much higher kind of greenhouse gas emissions for meat-based foods than plant-based foods. And the work that we've been looking at is to say, OK, well, let's take a vegetarian diet and a vegan diet and compare it to a meat-based diet, measure the greenhouse gas emissions from those diets and compare across them. And what we found that is in the UK, a meat-eating diet has about double the greenhouse gas emissions of a vegan diet, and it's got about 50% more greenhouse gas emissions related than a vegetarian diet.
I know some people say veganism definitely wins in terms of carbon emission, but can you be fully healthy cutting all of this out of your diet?
Well, the results there in the dietary epidemiology is a little bit more disputed. In non-randomized studies, we see that vegetarians and vegans tend to have better health outcomes than meat eaters, but that might be due to confounding. There might be other elements there that vegetarians and vegans are fundamentally kind of different types of people than meat eaters. We know from the cohort studies, which are studies which look at people with different diet groups and follow them up over a long time and see how there's differences in health outcomes, we know that there's lower cardiovascular disease outcomes related with a lower meat diet. We also know there's now very good evidence that a lower meat diet, particularly red and processed meat diet, is related with lower colorectal cancer outcomes. And we also know from randomized control trials of short-term changes in meat consumption, so moving to small, lower meat diets, that's also associated with reduction in body weight and reductions in blood cholesterol levels.
So what should we be doing on an individual, and I guess on a national level then, to try and reduce our carbon footprint?
So if you're living in a family and two meat eaters in that family decide to go vegetarian, then that's roughly the same sort of carbon footprint as a small family car running for a year. Similarly, if you're a meat eater and you move to be a vegan, that's the same as an economy trip from London to New York on a plane. So it's those sort of levels of carbon footprint that you talk about removing from these dietary choices. And the important thing is, it isn't just about changing from being a meat eater to being a vegan. That's a big switch. It's a big lifestyle change that not many people would be willing to make. But we know that dietary greenhouse gas emissions are very well correlated with the amount of meat that you eat. So if you just reduce the meat that you consume, start cutting it back on a few days a week, you'll make a big impact on your dietary carbon footprint. on a global scale, you're seeing that we're actually making some progress towards reducing greenhouse gas emissions in a lot of sectors. So we're moving towards cleaner energy. Solar power is getting cheaper, and we can see a future where we could potentially have clean energy. And similarly there with transport, if you're moving towards more cleaner energy, you can see a world where you get clean transport. With food, it's going in completely the opposite direction. And the reason being there is because we've got more and more people on the planet that we need to feed. And because the developing world are getting richer as time goes by, they're moving towards more Western diets, and that's a higher greenhouse gas emission footprint there. But yet with all the global agreements on climate change, food never comes into it. It's just too complicated to be within those discussions. If that came into those discussions, and if food started to get included in things like cap and trade schemes, then we could start seeing pricing of greenhouse gas emissions within the food system. But people are very worried about that because they don't want to see any kind of impact on food prices, because that can have a lot of very negative knock-on effects to some of the world's poorest people.
Heard a great word the other day, flexitarian, someone with all of the morals of a vegetarian but none of the willpower. That was Peter Scarborough from the University of Oxford.
I would definitely succumb as soon as someone got the bacon frying pan.